How's everybody today? How many of y'all liking the cold weather? It's like five hands. Everybody else is like, no, I'll take the summer back. It's good. I like this time of the year. It's getting a little chilly. My parents back in Louisiana had almost 6 inches of snow. Yeah, so they're walking in a winter wonderland over there. And so my kids were bummed out because we kept seeing pictures of all their little cousins playing in the snow and everything. And so I'm thankful that we didn't get any. For those of you who were praying, I'm sorry the Lord did not answer your prayer. I'm just glad it's not freezing cold. So anyway, let's jump into this message today. We're in part two today of this series entitled Heaven on Earth. And last week we kicked off this series talking about how the birth of Jesus, this whole Christmas story did not occur pretty much the way we would think it should have. You know, we feel like because it's Jesus, the Son of God, then it needs to be a lot more special and it needs to be a lot more cleaned up. But the Savior of the world did not show up with all this fanfare and pomp and circumstance, but he showed up in the middle of a little bit of family drama. Anybody ever had a little family drama going on around them? Don't raise your hand. Most of us already know anyway, so don't raise your hand. And so Jesus shows up in this family scene, and it's a teenage girl who is engaged to this older man who's a construction worker. I'm just trying to set the scene for you to help you to see how Jesus showed up on the scene. If we could put it in modern terms, it's a teenage girl engaged to a construction worker. And that's how God chose to bring his son into the world. And we said a couple things last week. First thing we said that the way that Jesus showed up, it was unexpected. This is not the way we thought he would. But then we also said that Jesus showed up in the mess. That he is not afraid to get into the mess of our life. If he gets into the mess of our lives, he can change our lives. Amen. Listen, I need you to know something. I feel like preaching already. I need you to know that Jesus is not afraid of your mess. Okay? And so don't feel the need to polish up to get Jesus to come. He's willing to come even when you messed up. All right. And so that was last week. And so this week, we're going to continue on with this series. I'm going to go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We'll read some scripture, then we'll pray, and then we're going to jump into this thing. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. You can follow along on the screen. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. I want you to remember that. This man, Joseph, is a descendant of King David. Remember David, the guy who killed Goliath with the stone? Okay. So verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I love that verse, confused and disturbed, because I would be confused and disturbed if an angel showed up to me. Now, don't act like you would feel like you're right at home when an angel shows up. I would be like, what's going on? Like, what did I do? Why are you here? I'm glad you're here, but I'm not quite sure what's going on here. This is the scene. And so she's confused and disturbed, and Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And a couple little points I want to throw in right here. Just because you might be at a time in your life where you're confused, or maybe there's something disturbing you, maybe you don't have it all figured out, it doesn't mean that God isn't with you. Can I get an amen there? And just because you're disturbed and maybe a little anxious doesn't mean that God is far from you. Because God was right there with this girl, even in the state of confusion, even though she's disturbed and probably a little stressed out, God was right there with her. So let's keep reading. Verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. And just know this, that even though there might be some natural limits in our lives, we have to remember that we serve a supernatural God. even though they may say this and they may think this and all the experts are saying this, I need you to know that God is all powerful. God is all knowing. Amen. And so let's not let what happens in the natural keep us from believing that God can't do it. And let's remember that he is supernatural. Amen. Let's keep reading. Verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. Now, I want you to listen to this verse. I love this. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. People used to say, it's interesting what people will say about us. Am I right? It's interesting what they will say about us. Because they just see a small piece of our life, but they describe our entire life according to the small piece that they see. Thank God that he sees a bigger picture. People used to say, I think that can be your story. People used to say this. People used to say you were an alcoholic, but now God has set you free. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Verse 37, and I love it. For the word of God will never fail. You didn't know there was all of this stuff in the Christmas story. Am I right? You didn't realize how much there was in this story. And we take it for face value. All right, Jesus was born, a bunch of angels, a bunch of all these stuff and all. All right, let's get to the gifts. There's so much in this story because God is literally bringing us the hope that we have waited for. God is delivering it to us through this son, Jesus. And it says, for the word of God will never fail. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. Watch this. May everything you have said about me come true. You ever prayed that prayer? Lord, everything you have ever said about me, every plan that you ever said, that you ever planned for me, may it come true. True. This is what she's saying right here. And then the angel left her. I think we're struggling with what people say versus what God says, what we think of ourselves versus what God thinks of us. All of this in this story. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time that we have together as a church family. And Lord, we need you to speak something to our hearts, not just something that we can hear and try to do, but Father, something that's going to inspire us on the inside to take steps that we never, ever thought we would take. So today, Holy Spirit, I ask for your help in communicating this message. I pray, Lord, that it will awaken faith in every person in this room. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will quicken every spirit in here. Lord, that you will get us moving and stepping in the directions of all the plans that you have for our lives. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you are doing the work, Father, that you are working in our hearts and changing us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So like it's Christmas time, and one of the things that we all struggle with at Christmas time is the Christmas list. How many of you have been working on your Christmas list a little bit, okay? And the thing about Christmas is it gets extremely difficult when you're trying to get a gift for someone who has everything. Like they have everything and they don't even know what they want. And I find that especially when you have to buy a gift like for your parents, it's extremely difficult. Like I have no clue what to get my parents. They have everything. And if they want anything, they just go get it. And so when you're going to get a gift for them, it's extremely difficult. So a couple years ago, Cynthia and I, we were in this struggle like we are every year. And so my dad has like this man cave shop. And so we thought, you know, he needed to put something in there to make it feel a little more at home. So we were searching and searching, and we found this huge plaque that was actually an LSU Tiger plaque. It was pretty big, and we thought this would be perfect. And so we got the thing all wrapped up. And, you know, whenever you show up at the party and you got the big package, everybody thinks you got the good gift. And so everybody's looking to see who it's for. And so we're sitting there opening gifts. And so my parents open it and they're like, all right, that's nice. That's nice. We're going to hang this in the shop. And so we and Cynthia, we're looking at each other. We were like, we did it. We finally got something. And everything is going good. And then my older brother and his wife pulls out this gift for mom and dad. And they're pulling out cameras and stuff. And you know ahead of time when everybody starts pulling out cameras that this is significant. Seriously, it's significant. And so we're sitting there. I don't even know what's going on here. And they got a smaller package, and then they began to open it. And whenever they opened it, I knew this is it. And listen, I don't care what you think or where you're at in life. There's always rivalry between siblings. Am I right? Am I right? Don't act like you're all holy, okay? Some of y'all showed up a little late today. All right? Try to get all holy during the preaching. They open this thing up, and my mom's crying, and my dad's punching his thigh. Just that's how when he begins to get emotional, he hits himself. And my brother had gotten this flag from my grandfather who passed away before we were born, and he was in the military. And when he died, they had this flag that they gave to my grandmother. Well, my brother and my sister-in-law took the flag, got it all cleaned up, and put it in this nice case and had a little plaque on it. And that was it. The whole party's over because it was all about, and listen, it's all sentimental and that's all great, but I just want to know, what about the plaque? I mean, we're going to go there in a few weeks. I hope it's hung. I hope it is, but I still think they're mesmerized by this flag. And I get it. It's sentimental and everything, but it's so hard to figure out what to get people. Am I right? It is just really like, I don't know what to do here. And so this is where everybody says, well, you know, Pastor Wade, it's the thought that counts. And I want to know, why do people ask for receipts if it's the thought that counts? Seriously, like, I'm gonna put the receipt in there for you, but like, the thought that counts. Okay, you people. All right, so what do you give to someone who seems like they have everything? What do you give them? Now, I want to give you a little perspective here. In our culture today, for the most part, our needs are taken care of. Okay, for the most part, think about it. We have shelter, we have food, we have transportation. We have, for the most part, our needs are taken care of. Would everyone agree with me here? So if we have everything, why are we still in need? I want you to think about that for a second. If we have everything, why are we still in need? You got a lot of stuff, but you have some needs in your life. Now, here's a question I'm going to ask you. What kind of gift giver are you? Especially with your kids, okay? Do you give them what they ask for, or do you give them what they need? See, some people are fun gift givers. They're not worried if the kids have holes in their socks and all this stuff. If it's the next latest greatest toy, they're getting it for the kids, and the kids are playing on all this cool stuff, and they just look like they don't have anything, like their whole world's falling apart, but they got all the latest and greatest toys. But then there's the other parent who's all functional, and that kid will never get a toy or anything fun, ever. And some of y'all are laughing because you wish you can do that. And so when Christmas time comes around, they're getting a belt because their pants are falling off. Come on. No, we got it. And so we got the fun people, we got the functional people, we got the people who fall in the middle of both. And you ever notice how kids roll? They will ask for anything they want. I mean anything. They don't even have any regard for how much it may cost. How many of y'all know them kids? How many of you are those kids? Yeah. They make these things called wish lists. They start like in June. Like the day after their birthday. Just racked up for their birthday. You got everything under the sun. You know what I want for Christmas? You hadn't even played with the stuff for your birthday yet, and they're already asking for everything for Christmas. And they're asking for all these things that they want, but oftentimes they overlook the things that they need. And I say that because I wonder if that's what we do with the Lord. I wonder if we focus so much on what we want Him to do and what we want from Him that we overlook the things that we need from Him. Is anybody tracking with this today? So the question is this: what does God want to give us? What does He want to give you? And the question is, do you even know what He has for you in your life? And some of us are going to try to get all humble and stuff. Well, the Lord has blessed me with another day, then He's blessed me with enough. Are you kidding me? Don't try to act like that, trying to be all holy. You know you need the Lord to do something in your life. You know you have needs. And the question I want to ask you is, what if he has in mind something better than you ever thought to ask for? What if he has specific things in mind for you and you're just not asking for them because you're settling for something else that you want, but there's some legitimate needs in your life that you're overlooking and you just want to be humble? Come on. So this morning what I want to speak about is what God has for you. What God has for you. Here's the first thing. God wants to birth something in you. God wants to birth something in you. Now, we like to receive something, all right? I mean, I like to get gifts. I like when somebody gives me something, I can touch it with my hands. But what if what God has for you is something that will be conceived in you rather than something received for you? Just something to think about here. We like it in our hands, but what if he wants to put something in your heart? Are you tracking today? Sometimes he'll give it to you. Sometimes it will show up. He'll just put it in your hands. But other times he will birth something in you rather than give it to you. Let me give you a good example so you can wrap your mind around this. Let's say a person needs some money. God may not give them a check. That would be the easy thing. Am I right? Lord, I need money. And the Lord just drops a million on you. That would be nice. Sometimes he may give you an idea, though, that will help you to get the money that you need. Are you grabbing this? So our mind tends to go strictly in receive mode, where God may work in conceive mode. Here's a better picture. The whole world was struggling with sin and oppression and all of these different things that was happening to people and everything they were going through. And they just wanted it to stop. And maybe if God would send the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus, it would all just go away. And Jesus didn't show up that way. They thought he was going to come and put an end to it all. But he didn't show up that way. He didn't show up as this big warrior that came and mowed everybody down. He showed up as a baby with innocence. Remember last week? It's not the way we expect it. But there's so much potential in something that is birthed. Are you grabbing this? He birthed a deliverer in the midst of the bondage and the oppression to bring deliverance, not by making it all go away, but by overcoming it, to give us authority. Listen, things can go away in your life. That doesn't mean that you overcame it. And there's a lot of people that just would rather avoid than overcome. Come on, now we're getting somewhere. See, if you overcome it, if you face it again, it's no longer a threat. But if it just goes away when you face it again, you've never dealt with it. So you still have work to do. And so God wasn't going to be incomplete through sending his Savior, just someone to make it all go away. He was going to send someone to come into the world to overcome it all so that there was always hope for us no matter what season or state we might be in our life. I want you to keep your eye out on packaging this Christmas, how things are packaged. Any of you guys ever opened a toy for a kid before? Come on, any of you guys, your little baby girl came to you, Daddy, open it for me. Let's just go with the Barbie. Some of you may think that is like an easy thing to open. You've never opened one. Because inside of a Barbie, there's these clips and wires and tape. And you need a toolkit just to get that little girl out of there. Come on, anybody ever done it before? Packaging is important. I got an issue with it. I need you to know I have an issue with it. And it intensifies because the more pieces, any of you moms ever heard of these little things called Shopkins before? Anybody got daughters that are playing with these little things called, losing my mind, opening up a package with Shopkins? Some of y'all are like, what is wrong with this preacher? I'll bring you the box. I will bring you the box. We'll have a ministry outreach opening the Shopkins box. There's so many little pieces in there. And listen, you literally feel like a surgeon trying to work these little pieces out of there without destroying them because of the way that it's all packaged. And packaging is so important because part of the whole thing with packaging is the package sells. You ever bought something and the package was better than the product? That's like those as seen on TV products. If you sell them, I'm sorry. But this is how it works. The package looks great. But then when you get to using it, it's terrible. The packaging is better than the product. And I have a feeling that a lot of us have settled for a better package than a better product with our life. Because we're more concerned with how the outside looks and how well we're held in place than we are with the actual product that is in there. Packaging. Package can be deceiving. You ever did this for someone? You had this small little gift for them, but you didn't want everybody to think you did. You cut somebody short with the gift. So you wrapped it in the really big box, and they went through like three boxes to get to the little thing. They weren't impressed with the little thing you gave them. They just liked the adventure of getting to it. That's how a lot of our lives are. We've gotten really good at packaging. We got really good at things on the outside, and so we make it look really good. We put a big bow on it, and it's packaged all nicely. But what about what's on the inside? And if you can get anything out of this part of the message today, it's the realization that God, he doesn't look at the outside. He's trying to get to the heart. And we see this verse back in 1 Samuel 16. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And sometimes because of what's on the outside, we don't see anything happening. It leads us to believe that God is not present, that God is not there, but we fail to see the work that God is trying to do on the inside. And today, even in this church service, God is wanting to do something on the inside of you. And you're going to be tempted to change everything on the outside to make everyone around you to believe that everything is okay, while on the inside, it's not okay. And this is why Jesus came, to get beyond the outside, to get to the inside, so he can birth something in you that's going to overcome the things that are overwhelming you. Amen. Okay? Outward package can look amazing, but what about your heart? It's what's inside that matters. We like things we see. God wants to give us things that we can believe. And sometimes seeing and believing can be in conflict because we need to see it before we believe it. But is it really faith if you see it before you believe it? You don't have to see it to believe it. Jesus said something like this. He said, all things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible. All things are possible. Overcoming that depression is possible. If you believe, you can overcome that depression. Come on. Are you grabbing this? It's what's on the inside. We're trying to change everything around us because it's triggering me. Well, really, on the inside, some things need to change. Come on now. That's why God wants to birth something in you. And if faith can be ignited in you and you begin to believe, then you will see because you have believed. All things are possible for those who believe. And I believe that God wants to birth something on your heart. He wants to give you some hope. He wants to give you some peace. He wants to give you some love. He wants to give you some joy. And guess what? It was delivered to us in an unexpected package. It was a baby born in the manger. And today, it's like the Lord is knocking on the door. He's making the delivery. He's knocking on the door. And will we receive the package? Will we open the door of our heart and allow him to fill our life with the joy and peace that comes only through Christ Jesus? Will we open the door? He's knocking on your heart today. I've already begun to think about 2018. I believe God wants to birth some things in your heart in this new year. I believe 2018 can look drastically different than 2017 for you. And some of you, you're asking for it. God, I need things to be different this year. I need things to change. I need something to happen. But what if God wants to start this change by birthing something in you? And so Cynthia mentioned earlier about our 21 days of prayer and fasting coming up in January. You say, I've never done that before. This is a great time to do this for the first time. And I want to invite you, we're going to talk about it some more. Starting on January the 7th, we're going to begin a fast, 21 days, where we're going to put some things aside and put our focus on the Lord. And as we're focusing on the Lord, I believe we're going to begin to see the things that he's putting in our heart. Instead of focusing on external things, let's shift our focus and see what God wants to do in us. Can I get an amen there? Come on, I want to encourage you. You want to jump in and you want to participate. That's going to begin January the 7th, okay? So God wants to birth something in you. Here's number two. God wants to give you a new beginning. God wants to give you a new beginning. Can I say this? God specializes in fresh starts. That's what he is so good at, giving you a fresh start. Most people won't give you another chance, but the mercy and grace of God is who he is. He is gracious, he is merciful, and so he specializes in fresh starts. So watch this. If we aren't careful, we'll just try to do whatever we can to make all the bad stuff go away. It's like a teenager cleaning a room. Just shove it under the bed. Throw it in the closet. Close the door. Mama, come see. I cleaned my room. Some of y'all are still doing that. You're 30 years old. Let's not let our struggles, let's not let our mess cause us to lose hope that the best is yet to come. Because there is a lot of us that have rewritten what we believe about God because of what we had to walk through personally. And God can't do it because this happened to me and this happened to us. And we're changing, in our theory, we're changing who we believe God is. But I want you to know that God isn't changing. God isn't changing. He's always the same. And he is always faithful. Amen. He's always loving. He is always with us. He is always. The problem is we change because we don't have the right perspective. Our perspective is from our pain, but his perspective is from his creation, from what he planned and how he wanted to do it. So let's not let our struggles begin to define how this thing works. And I'm going to give you a scripture verse, and it's actually a Christmas scripture verse that you probably never saw like this before. You probably never, that ain't a Christmas scripture verse. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Watch this. This is interesting. It says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Now, you remember earlier whenever we introduced this guy Joseph to you, and we said he was a descendant of David? Remember that? So we go back to this verse in Isaiah 11. And this is a prophecy about Jesus who's coming. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. A new branch. And I want you to pay attention to that word branch. You notice how it's capitalized? That's not a typo. Okay? It was capitalized in the Bible because that branch is not just a noun. It's a person. And that person is Jesus. And it says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a branch bearing fruit from the old root. And when I read that verse, it just like came alive on me because I began to literally see a stump. And a stump is a tree that's been cut down. And I begin to think about people in their lives. They feel like they've been cut down. You ever had someone say something to you and they were cutting you down the entire time they were saying it to you? Anybody ever had that happen before? They were condemning you. They were talking about you. They were literally cutting you down. And at first you fight it because you don't believe it. But if they keep saying it and you keep hearing it, eventually you start believing it. And so you no longer see yourself as this strong oak that is bearing fruit. But now you see yourself as a tree that's been cut down. And we used to be good. We used to be able to do all these things. And then this happened. We used to be good as a family. And then this happened. And I used to be strong. I used to serve in the church. I used to do all these things. And then this happened. Cut down. I want you to pay attention to this verse because this verse holds so much hope for us. Because maybe you've been cut down. Maybe someone's hurt you, said some things for you. Maybe you've cut yourself down. Maybe you've made some bad decisions. Maybe you've beat yourself up over it for a long time and it's a lot of condemnation. And I want you to know that Jesus didn't come to condemn. Can I get an amen there? Amen. He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to tear down. He came to build up. He came to give new life. And this is what is said about him. He is the resurrection and the life. Y'all grabbing this today? Out of the stump, there was a shoot, a branch that's bearing fruit. What in your life looks like it's dead? You just think it's over. There's no way. I want you to know there's hope, and that hope came from a baby whose name is Jesus. Like, I need you to grab this. This wasn't just any ordinary child. This was a Savior who's packaged with hope, with love, with mercy, with grace, with power. This is our Savior. Come on, somebody. This is our Savior that even in the most bleak situations can turn it around. Even when in the most overwhelming situations can turn it around. And so when you begin to look through some of these things through the perspective of Jesus being a Savior and Him being the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, you begin to look at this whole situation of a stump differently. Because when you see something cut down, you think it's over. But then when you realize that even though it was cut down, if there's a branch that is sprouting from what was cutting down, there's still hope, and it's said that it's going to produce much fruit. Hold on, now my perspective is being changed about the cutting, because maybe the cutting was actually some pruning that was a setup for me to bear some fruit. It was going to point me to the very thing that I needed, which was Jesus. And if it wasn't for the cutting, I may have not found Him. Are you grabbing this now? And so this begins to help us to understand the process of our lives, that perhaps some of the things that happen to you, and listen, by the way, I don't believe God's saying, make them hurt, put them in pain, let's punish them to get them to turn. Sometimes it's just people making some really ridiculous decisions, including us. Amen? We can get mad at them, because what they did to hurt us, you cut me down. But nobody preaches to you more than you preach to yourself. When you're looking at yourself in that mirror and you're driving on your way to work, you're having conversations in your head and you're talking to yourself. And some of you, you're looking at yourself and you're in that mirror and you say, boy, I look good today. Others of you are looking in the mirror and you're saying, I need help today. Don't look at your neighbor right now. Don't. That would be a bad thing to do. Okay. That was wrong, bro. I saw that. Nobody preaches to you more than you preach to yourself. And we made some decisions that's been cutting us down. But we didn't realize how God can use even something that was cut down and turn it around and use it to bear fruit in our lives. Some of those situations in your life that looked like it was ruining you. You thought this was the ruination of my life. My life will never be good again. There's still hope for you. You said, Pastor Wade, you don't even know. I don't have to know. I know who God is, and I know what He can do. And He is not afraid of our mess. He's not afraid to get in there. Listen, like I said, from this root came a shoot. And next time you're dealing with yourself, come on, you ever had to deal with yourself and you start cutting yourself down? You got to tell yourself, hold on, there's a shoot coming from this root, and it's going to bear fruit. It all rhymes. You can make a little song out of it if you want. A shoot from the root bearing fruit. God didn't make it happen to you. They did it. You made that decision. I feel like God gets blamed for everything that we do. Come on. They made a decision. You made a decision. But that doesn't mean that God can't turn it around. He gives us new beginnings. Somebody needed this today. Somebody needed to hear that God gives new beginnings, because you're at the place where you thought, this is the hand that was dealt to me, and I just got to cope with it for the rest of my life. And I want to give you some hope today that God doesn't want you just to sit there and manage. He wants to overcome. Amen? Amen. He wants you to overcome. And that's why He sent Jesus, the overcomer, to deliver us, to help us to overcome these things. So Jesus came to start something new. He came with a new covenant. Amen? He came to give us new life. He came to give us a new beginning. So he wants to birth something in you. But he also wants to give you a new beginning. Every head bowed in here, every eye closed today. When I was preparing this message, I had a different experience than I usually do when I'm preparing. Because I felt this was so necessary to speak to so many people. And not just people who are new to the faith, but people who have been in the faith for a long time. Because sometimes our years lead us to a place where we feel like we got a little seniority. And sometimes seniority can lead you to believe that you got a little bit more than what you actually got. And this is usually what it starts to sound like. Well, just another year of suffering for the Lord. And in the middle of that hashtag humble brag is a lot of pride. And here's the thing. God resists the proud. But watch this. He gives grace to the humble. When Jesus showed up, he didn't show up with flash. He showed up in humility. And if we're going to come to him, we come with humility. That's why trying to make it all look good on the outside doesn't change anything on the inside. Because trying to change it all on the outside makes it look like, God, I don't really need you. I got it all going on. I just wonder today if you would be really vulnerable with the Lord. If you would really open your heart to him today and say, Lord, I need you, not just to come do something for me, but I need you to come do something in me. Some of us are looking for peace from everybody around us being quiet. But even at night when everything is quiet and you put your head on the pillow, it's still loud. And they're all quiet asleep. See, it's not them. It's what's in you. Today, he's knocking on the door of your heart. Will you open your heart and allow him to come and be that Prince of Peace in your life, to bring a calm to your storms, to build you so you can overcome all of these things in your life? He's a God who restores, who renews, and he wants to birth something in you today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you were talking to me today. This is what I need. I need God to do something, not just for me. I need him to do something in me. I want you just real quietly, just slip up a hand. Pastor, that's me. I need you to do something in me. Yeah. Yeah. It's literally like the delivery man is knocking on the door right now. And it's the exact thing that you need. Will you open the door of your heart? Anyone else? You say, Pastor, I need God to do something in me. I've been asking you to do something for me, but what I really mean is I need you to do something in me. Anybody else? There's a lot of hands that's going up all across here today. Yeah. I want to pray for you this morning. In fact, if you raise that hand, I want you to stand. No one's going to know why you're standing. It's okay. I'm standing. I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Come on, don't be ashamed. Father, I pray over every person that's standing with me today. No doubt they've asked you to do a bunch of things for them. And Lord, we know that you supply our needs. But Father, we need you to do something in us. So Lord, in this season, this Christmas season, where we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus, where you delivered your son to us so that he would come and deliver us, I pray today that every person standing will open their heart, that would lay down their pride and allow you, Father, to birth something new in their hearts. And rather than focusing on external, Father, I pray, Lord, you would turn our attention towards the internal. the work that you want to do on the inside, the peace that you bring to our hearts, the calm that you bring to the storm on the inside. I pray over every individual standing with me this morning that you will bring peace to that family situation, to that wife who's struggling, to that child who's dealing with this issue with his father, to that marriage, to that person who is trying to overcome an addiction. Father, I pray today you will birth something in their hearts that will help them to overcome the things in their lives. Holy Spirit, come and fill every person that's standing here today.